Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence and DSE Insight calling. Quick to Husavik. Coming up on the show this week, tickets for Junior Eurovision, Late Night Belongs to Måneskin, and Jono Asante talks politics. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, welcome. 7 days in the world of the Eurovision Song Contest generates lots of news. 7 days in the world of Junior Eurovision generates, well, this week, just a little bit more news as well. And we're here to round it all up in the Insight News podcast. I'm Ewan Spence, myself and the team, hard at work gathering all the stories for the song contest, the music, the chords, and having a look around the community as well. www.eseinsight.com is our website. You can go there, read the articles. patreon.com/eseinsight if you want to support us. Get a little bit of extra content. There's an extra podcast and article there per month. And you can start supporting yourself for the price of a fancy coffee. Okay, reminder of course, the 10th and the 12th of May for the semi-finals, Saturday the 14th of May for the grand final. We're in Turin, tickets are not on sale yet. Try and get refundable accommodation and travel if you are considering going. And in terms of hotel spaces, wait till March or April, more will be available. Okay, you know, just, you know, calm down everybody, there's still some way to go, it's all going to be okay. Two names of note this week here. First one is Mika, the guy behind the Grace Kelly song, yes, and on Italy's The Voice and various other things. Really wants you to remember he's not interested in hosting the song contest. More journalists asking him the question in media appearances, and it's just like, where are you getting this from? Okay, move on. The other name that's worth pointing out is a certain Jono Asante, our recently retired executive supervisor for the song contest. He sat down with the team over at Eurovision Legends, Emil Lofstrom's wonderful podcast, getting people from the history of the song contest, the so-called Legends, and giving them an interview. Very much a recommended podcast, by the way, eurovisionlegends.se. Anyway, spoke to Jono Asante. Podcast is now up and live. It's a fascinating listen. Goes over a lot of ground in nearly an hour and a half of chat. So do go and listen. But to get you in the mood, a little bit of flavour of what's going on, Emil sent over a clip where he asks Jono about one aspect of politics at the song contest.
But surely, every time that some country tries to use Eurovision in this way for some kind of political power play, that must be quite disappointing for someone in your position.
Yeah, it is disappointing. I get very disappointed about it. I don't get angry. I just get disappointed because it doesn't do anyone anything good. It just, you know, hammers the contest that everyone loves. I mean, Russia loves the Eurovision Song Contest. So does Ukraine. They love it. And Armenia loves it. Azerbaijan loves it. And there are no reason for trying to make any smart move for a short-term benefit. I think, you know, my wish would be that all broadcasts, and usually they do, supports this very well. Again, I talked about the Russian delegation. They have been huge supporters of the Eurovision Song Contest. Very constructive, very, you know, strong and good, always well prepared, always have good discussions with them on site. So that's why I'm sad when those kind of delegations might try to gain some short-term benefits on a kind of a power play.
Jono Asante speaking to Emil Lofstrom over at the Eurovisionlegends.se podcast. Full interview, go over there and enjoy the reminiscence of the man who always told us to take it away. Okay, Junior Eurovision now, December the 19th, getting ever closer. France still showing their little 2-3 minute catch-up clips on France 1 every weekday evening as well. Big announcement here, of course, is tickets are going to be on sale November the 3rd. We don't have the exact prices, details, COVID precautions, etc., 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 so details are to follow. Entry list is still locked in at 19, no withdrawals and everything, and good on that. But we are getting through the selections now. So, Albania first of all, had kept their options open in terms of internal selection, online, national final. They went for national final in the end, Junior Fest 2021. Winning through that was Anna Jebria, but not with her Eurovision song. Instead, that Eurovision song was released earlier today. That's Friday as we record the podcast, Stand By You. North Macedonia, previously it was announced that they would be sending some of the singers from popular kids TV show Dajde Muzika. The four selected from the troupe have now been confirmed. So step forward Christina, Anastasia, Miha and Philip, who will be representing their show and their country on the Junior Eurovision stage in Paris. Portugal, we have a song title there for Simão Oliveira's song. It's Ora Paz, The Boy. Release of the single and music video. Details on that to follow. Russia, spoiler alert, the national final has taken place, but it's not being broadcast. It goes out on Saturday night. So skip forward 30 seconds or so, or just mute the volume if you don't want to know the results. Okay, there we go now. And it is Tanya Medvedeva who will be returning to the Junior Eurovision Song Contest following her duet in 2019, this time as a solo performer with the song Mon Ami. So playing the French language joker card there quite early. She took over 20% of the televote between all the contestants, so a commanding victory there. Serbia next, Jovana and Dunja's song for Serbia, Children's Eyes, is now released. As with all the songs that get released, they will pop up on the national broadcaster, like radio stations and TV and portals, but you'll always find them at the official website as well, youtube.com/Junior Eurovision in this case. And finally, Ukraine winning through the national final last weekend was Olena Yusenko, bringing a classic-sounding power ballad from Ukraine and taking it to France. It's dark, it's a moody production. It's called Leverage, Vasil, and it topped both the televote and the jury vote. So comprehensive. We want that one to go heading to Junior. Okay, over to the grown-ups. We've got a big sweep here. We'll start with Australia. The first group of artists for Australia Decides, their national final, have been announced. A couple of familiar names in the mix here. First one there is Isaiah Firebrace. Of course, represented Australia in 2017 with the song Don't Come Easy. He's going to be singing a duet. The partner's not yet been announced. Jaquid Jones returns to the national final after placing in 2020. This time the song will be called Rabbit Hole. And finally, new to the Eurovision scene, we have Fijian Australian singer Paulini, getting a lot of attention that one. So out of those three, kind of think Paulini's got a slight edge on there, but we will see. Songs are going to be following at a later date. National final is Saturday, February the 26th. And thanks to the time zones, it's a national final that us here in Europe can enjoy over breakfast with a lime daiquiri and a bowl of Frosties. Submissions for Dora have opened up over in Croatia. For those of you looking to represent the country, you've got until November the 25th to get songs or yourself as the act submitted. Dora itself is going to be 14 entries strong. There's going to be four on the bench in case of you know what. They're going to be selected and announced by late December, and Dora itself will take place during February. We're waiting for the exact date details to follow. Up in Iceland, head of delegation Felix Bergson has soft opened the Eurovision Museum at Húsavík, of course made famous by the Netflix film and of course the appearance at the Oscars as well. And as if we needed another reason to go to Iceland. Anyway, features props from the movie, features Johanna's stunning dress from Moscow 2009, Hatari's Prijal stick and a lot more of memorabilia as well. And if you're up there and you're looking for a nice drink to follow, Yaya Ding Dong Bar is two doors down. Quick note for Israel, X Factor Israel is underway. The winner there is going to be the performer for Israel at Eurovision 2022. We're not going to be following this one in depth, by the way, on the podcast every week, but it's on every Saturday until late December. We'll keep an eye for the big highlights of the news. Italy, well, we can do Italy via New York because Måneskin made their American debut with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. It was the cover of Begging. So when Jimmy held up the album to promote, here's a new album, it's got lots of songs. Begging's not on that album. Still, there you go. I can just see people stumbling onto Spotify looking for an old song from the Four Tops End and discovering I Want to Be Your Slave. What a wonderful world. Let's see. Closer to Italian's home, Sanremo team have published the rules for their festival. And of course, the winner gets first refusal for the song contest. As we knew before, 22 selected acts and two winners of the Giovanni contest that's taking place in December will make up the roster. There's no newcomers event actually at Sanremo this year. So the show is starting 50 minutes earlier and doesn't have the Giovanni in there, so it should be slightly faster paced. Voting-wise, the press are involved as usual, but they're going to be split into three demographics: print, broadcast, and online. They're going to be the only voting delegations on the Tuesday and Wednesday nights of Sanremo. 12 of the 24 songs will perform on each night. Thursday will be all 24 songs. At that point, there's the Demoscopic Jury, which is a sort of demographically balanced, it's like 300 people in votes, plus a full tally vote as well. They'll be combined to get the rankings for Thursday and added to the rankings from Tuesday and Wednesday. Friday night is now covers night. It used to be Thursday. Their choice now is to sing either iconic Italian or international songs from the 60s, 70s, or 80s. So that rules out Erma Mehta doing a Spice World cover. That would have been but other than that, Saturday is the grand final, and it'll include the usual three-act runoff when you have the 24 cutting down to three, going to the televote, and that will be the winner of Sanremo, and more than likely, given the success of Måneskin and Mahmood the entry year before, because we skipped 2020, Diodato still had a success as well, let's be fair. Pretty sure that everybody entering Sanremo will want to go to Eurovision. There we go. In terms of entries, we don't have the names of the Campioni, the main contest, but we do have the 46 acts announced the Giovanni contest. There was only going to be 30, but nope, there's enough there that 46 are going to be going through to the, I believe they're behind closed doors, qualifying rounds in November. And the live show itself, for just eight acts, will be on December the 15th. Two of those will get a ticket to go forward to Sanremo itself in February. Oh, we got a lot going on here, haven't we? Montenegro up next. Submissions are open there for their song for Eurovision. Broadcaster RTCG is returning to the contest after a short absence. The eventual performer will need Montenegrin citizenships, but songs and composers can be worldwide. The cutoff date here is October the 1st for previous publications. So if there's a song you want to enter, not September the 1st, October the 1st. And in terms of when you get in, there's a deadline of the 10th of December to submit to RTCG there. More details on what sort of selection, internal, online, televised, whatever, details to follow. Norway, changes are coming to NGP as well. Norway's head of delegation, Stig Carlson, has spoken to OGAE Norway in his traditional yearly address, but there's not much indication of what the changes are going to be. MGP is still going to be six shows, five heats and a final. We have a confirmed venue, the H3 Arena in Fornebu. It's about 1,200 capacity there, so we're not back to the full arenas yet because of everything, but we are going to have a live audience in there as well. But on things like voting structure, heats, final formats, when the song is going to be released, artist revealed, all of that, they're all under consideration, so details to follow. Spain, submission deadline for the return of the Benidorm Song Festival has been extended to give composers more time. It's now November the 10th. And Sweden, the PR train has started with our first two potential names coming from the ever-reliable Tobbe Ek of Aftonbladet. Clara Hammerström and Alvaro Estrella set to return to Melfest in 2022. Okay, another look round the community. Friend of the parish, John Egan, from over at 58points.tv, has taken a different approach to our Let's Send an Artist to Eurovision that we're showcasing on our website, eseinsight.com. He's discussing Lorde, her Croatian and New Zealand heritage, her latest EP, Te Ao Mar Ama, and broadcasters calling on diaspora talents. A lot in the mix there. Over on Patreon, we have our article for supporters on SVT's changes to Melody Festivalen and the sunsetting of Anders Janssen. And we'll also, this weekend, maybe Monday, we'll see how the timing goes, have a chat over coffee as a podcast with Chris Lockery on the BBC's new approach to the UK selection. In terms of podcast highlights, kind of already done it. Eurovision Legends interview with Jon Ola Sand. Go over and give Emil a follow, eurovisionlegends.se. And while you're there, There's a whole bundle of other archived ones, but there's a lovely two-parter talking about the rise and continued rise of ABBA, as he speaks to some of the parties that have been involved. Not quite landing the interview with Benny and Bjorn yet. Maybe that will happen as they get closer to the May contest. But lots to listen to there on the website or search for Eurovision Legends. If you're enjoying it, already subscribe, give them a like, follow, rating, reviews. Same with us, like, follow, rating, reviews, always appreciated. It helps people find us when they go through the search as well. In terms of dates for the diary, well, Russia's broadcasting the Junior Eurovision National Final on the 30th, but they've already had it, so try and avoid the spoilers. In terms of submissions closing for the grown-up contest, Spain November the 10th is the next one. Poland on November the 20th, Lithuania November the 25th. And there's a couple, Serbia and Latvia are at the start of December. And that's pretty much us. Lots going on this week. More songs selected for Junior Eurovision. Times, dates and places getting sorted out for the main contest in May, and a lot happening in the community as well, if you keep an eye on those sites. And if you just want to see what people are talking about, twitter.com/ESCBuzz, B-U-Z-Z. We'll pick up all the conversations that are happening online with our little friendly Twitter bot and give you the link so you can join in. But for now, as always, please do stay safe out there. Keep washing your hands, keep using your masks. We'll play the guitars and catch you next week. Yes, the Insight News podcast this week was hosted by Ewan Spence with contributions from Emilia Lofstrom, written by Ewan Spence and the ESC Insight team. www.escinsight.com.